Welcome to The State of Real Estate, a monthly program discussing various aspects of the world of real estate, featuring Tony Luna, Daniel Reynolds, and Jaya Harwell of the Tony Luna Group of Lake Holmes Realty.
Welcome to State of the State Real Estate. I'm Tony Luna, Lake Holmes Realty and the Tony Luna Group on beautiful Center Hill Lake. Hey, I've got some people with me. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Hi, Jaya.
Hi, Tony.
I get her name right now. What have y'all been doing since I seen you last, well, actually a couple minutes ago, but everybody else hadn't heard from you in a month.
Enjoying the weather.
Oh, yes.
It feels so good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Got big Easter plans?
New outfits for everybody. That's my favorite part of Easter. I love to go to church on Easter and everybody be in their Easter outfits,
and
like matching families.
Have to match. Yes.
Yes, yes.
You know, the first house I ever saw was on Easter Sunday in 1999.
I was a freshman in high school that year.
I sure did. I had a client call me. They said they had called two or three agents. Nobody would answer their phone. I said, absolutely, I'll show you a house. And that was the first lake house I sold. Oh, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was lost as last year's Easter egg, too. But I got it done. I got it done. Hey, we got a good guest with us today. Mr. Jeremy Bell. He owns Cabin Kings. Is that correct, Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
And he is from down under the hill. Actually, he's from down under. Where are you from?
Brisbane, Australia.
Wow.
Yes. See, now, from around here, we would probably say Brisbane, something like that.
Yes, yes. It's pronounced Brisbane.
Brisbane.
Brisbane. Yeah. How'd you find DeKalb County?
Facebook.
Really?
Yeah. So, it was funny. I had a business in Australia, a big business, and we decided to sell up. We travelled around Australia, and friends of ours here in Franklin, they invited us over to spend some time with them. And basically, he said, "Why don't you look at moving over and just having some time over here?" And we said, "All right, well, we might do that." And to do that, we had to buy a business. So that's the visa we're on. We're on an investment visa. And,
wow.
And, we went down that track and that journey, and it's interesting when you do the things the right way. It takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And to find the place we found, it was literally I was looking for businesses and that one came up on the Facebook and I thought, oh, I'll go have a look at it. I was driving an hour and 10 minutes from Franklin. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know anybody out this way. And I got out here and it was just beautiful, mountainous, like it's just everything we'd like.
Wow. So, but besides Cabin Kings, you guys own another business here, right?
That's correct. We have Hosanna Farm, which we do venue sort of thing with there is a venue on it and we use it as a venue, but we are changing that soon. So this could be the first announcement that we could say, it's still in drawings and stuff, but we're actually turning it into a childcare centre.
Oh. Really? Wow.
Yeah. We've seen the need for the area and we want to help the community and there's so many families that travel so far to get their kids anywhere.
Absolutely.
And that area really needs it.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah. Will you keep the cows and stuff?
Yeah. We're going to do more like a Montessori sort of setup. If you know what that is, it's more of a hands-on sort of play arrangement where the kids are right into stuff like feeding animals, cooking their food and doing all that sort of stuff.
Okay, first on the wait list right here.
For you or for the kids?
Oh, both.
And I think Jayo might be second on the wait list.
Oh,
she just left with her new little grandbaby, was in here a minute ago.
Yes.
It grossed me out, but Danielle loved it.
No, I did. Almost made me want another one. Almost.
Ugh.
Yeah. I hope Dave doesn't hear this. He
would divorce
me.
He never listens. So tell us what exactly is Cabin Kings, and that's why you're here.
Yes. So basically when I first came over, I worked for a company local that manufactures stain, and I helped them with, their server side and basically running their business there. And I got really in tune with the cabin side of their restoration. And I got really intrigued by it. I did a lot of coatings in Australia. I did floor coatings and wall and painting and all that sort of stuff. And then I come here and there's a whole new world of cabins. There's a lot more cabin sort of buildings and stuff over here than there is in Australia.
Wow.
So, and there's a whole world of it, really. So once I started looking into it and training and learning about it, I actually incorporated it into the business and we got really good at it. Yeah. And it sort of opened a door where I sort of got a passion to do restoration on cabins. So moving forward, I've been there for 2 years. I've decided let's step out on our own and give it a go. So that's what we've done. We've launched our own business and,
wow,
you know, and just given a – I just like seeing something from nothing, like it's run down and everything like that, and then you can restore it and you give it over to the client and they're like, wow, this looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I watch on Facebook Reels. Anything where they restore or rehab something, I love to see the before and after. It just there's something cathartic about it.
He may have his own HGTV show before it's over.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do have a lot of log cabins in this area, obviously on Center Hill Lake. I know just in the few years that I've been with Tony, we have sold a few. We actually have one right now that we've got listed with the Tony Luna Group. What are the key things that a homeowner or a cabin owner should look for? Like say they're looking at possibly buying a log cabin. What are the main things that they should be thinking about in terms of maintenance?
Sure. One thing that people need to look at when they buy a log cabin, you know, if it's already been restored, it's fine. You can, the maintenance is quite simple after it's been restored. But if they look at it and it's run down a bit and it looks like the, you know, the stain is flaking, peeling and chipping, you probably want to do your sums on the project and maybe get somebody that does restoring to look at it first, so you've got an idea of what you might need to do later on to make sure that nothing falls apart on you.
Absolutely.
So if someone neglects the maintenance, tell us what kind of problems they may be looking at down the road.
So if a log cabin has, you know, not been sort of looked after and the stain's starting to peel and chip, and then you've got cracks in the logs, and what that does is when the stain starts wearing off, it allows water to get into the logs, and that can cause rot, log rot. And then that can open a can of worms for you. It can then you got, you know, rotten logs, you got to repair. You may have to replace the whole log. The structural integrity of the cabin can be, you know, jeopardized. So all sorts of things like that. You just want to keep an eye out for that sort of stuff.
Do you guys like replace logs if it needs, or do you have a contractor that does that for you?
No, we do that.
You do it yourself?
Yeah,
wow.
We can restore them. So there's two types. There's the full log replacement where you sort of got to jack it up a little bit and make it, you know, so it doesn't collapse when you're doing it. Otherwise, we can remove the rotten stuff and put the same log, but just the fascia of it and make it look good still.
So let's say I have a cabin and I've noticed like one side of it's faded, but the other side still looks pristine. What causes that and how can you fix that and make it match?
Yeah. So it usually is a UV damage. So there's always one side of a cabin normally that the sun hits really badly. And if it doesn't have a porch or a cover over the logs, it will wear faster than the rest of it. So what we usually do in the maintenance thing, which I'll talk about maintenance a little bit, but you look at this side that's got the sun damage and you can wash it down. If you can scratch your nail over it and it comes off to the bare wood again, it means you need to restore the stain on it. So, but if it doesn't and you can do it, but it looks faded still, it might just need a top coat of stain on it.
So this is a kind of a strange question, I guess, but thinking about you being from Australia and all of the weird bugs and animals and stuff, did you have there the termites like we have here? And what really is the effect of a termite on a log cabin?
Yes, well, you've got a whole range of things that annoy you over here.
They're annoying, but I don't think they kill you, kind of like the Australian animals and plants and fish and everything.
Yes, we have a lot more deadly creatures, but you got a lot that tick you off.
Yeah.
So when you're working, you got these little bees called, you know, sweat bees, and they sting you as you do it, and then you got your wasp nest in every little corner, and you're like, oh, my goodness, what else is going to attack me while I'm out here? But, the biggest problem, obviously, in cabin and wood in general is your carpenter bees and, you know, your termites and all that sort of stuff. Look, as soon as they start burrowing in, you're going to have holes and you're going to have access for water to come in and to rot your logs out. So what we suggest is when you do a maintenance, you check for all them, you clean them out and you poison them, and then you plug up the holes and then you, you know, make sure that they don't come back. In our maintenance program, what we do is we wash the cabin down first, and then we check all the chinking and the caulking, which will allow water to go into certain areas. And then we can, after we've done all that, we put a termite, it's also like a pest repellent over the whole building. It doesn't matter if it's painted or stained or anything. It's a top coat and it lasts about a year and bugs don't like it. So we can do that for you.
So after the cabin is completely redone, completely restored, what is the maintenance on one from year to year?
It's pretty simple. I mean, you know, if you've just had it if you've just had it restored, you give it a good wash down, I think, and that preserves the stain. It keeps the dust and all the sort of mold build up and all that sort of stuff off. And then also, you know, we give it a wash down, and then we'll check all the chinking, or if it's got chinking or caulking around the windows, making sure that hasn't pulled away or anything like that. And then what we do is we do that pest treatment over it. Yeah. So it keeps all the bugs off.
Yeah, and I'm seeing more and more cabins that doesn't have the chinking in it. It's just like a D-log that snapped together. Yep. Is that any different when you're maintaining those?
Not really. Yeah. Not really. It's actually, there is more when it's come to chinking and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
So what is the difference in restoring and a full restoration, and how would someone know which one they need?
Mm-hmm. So with restoring, basically we'll come in and we'll check it and we'll wash it. You can wash it down. You do the maintenance program, but then with a restore, you might do a light coat over everything. So you might restain, like, you might just need a top coat of clear over the whole lot, and that's all you need. With a full restoration, that means we're going to glass blast it back to bare wood. We're going to sand it. We're going to put the treatment on. We're going to stain it and make sure it's all corked and everything's good to go. So there's a lot more into the whole restoration for it to just a sort of a maintenance and a little, you know, coat of stain over the top.
So if someone has a log cabin, should they, like, I know you said that the pest coating that you do lasts a year. Should they go ahead and schedule like once a year to have you guys come out and just clean it and maybe reapply that pest coating and check everything just as like a general maintenance for the home?
Yes, that we offer that. So what we do is once they're in our system, we do a mail out saying, hey, it's coming up to your yearly service. Let us come out, wash it down for you, make sure it's all.
Now, when you say wash it down, what are you washing it with? Just water?
No, it's like a log wash. So it really does take it back and it brings the shine back into the log and to the stain what's on there. Even paint, if it's painted, it's like a curse word saying that to a log treatment. You don't really want to have your logs painted, but, you know, some people do, and you can do that. And then we put our treatment on it, and that really does help it. Like, it'll save you in the long run. I mean, you can have a coat of stain on there for 20 years if you maintain it properly.
Wow.
Okay, so I know you just said it was like a curse word with the painting, but we have seen some log cabins around here that are painted.
We have.
And I was kind of wondering, and this may be a blonde question, but if you were to do that log wash and kind of strip it down like you were talking about, I know there's oil-based paint, water-based paint, or stain, rather, I'm sorry, paint or stain. Could you change the color if someone wanted, you know, a hot pink log cabin? Could you strip it down and get a stain or a paint that would work functionally for that?
Absolutely. We can strip anything down and make it any color you want to, you know, you really want it.
But is it like a sandblast or
we sandblast them right back. And obviously when you bring them back to the wood, you can do any color you want over that. I mean, when it comes to staining, so the difference between a water-based stain and an oil-based stain, the water-based stain is obviously you have two top coats and then you have two clear coats over the top. And that usually lasts between 5 to 7 years. You may need a top coat every 2 to 3 years after that, just on certain areas, especially the sunny sides. And then with the oil-based stain, you'll need to probably do that every 3 years. Because the oil obviously soaks in and wears off after a period of time.
Yeah. How long does it take you to, let's say, a 2,000 square foot cabin. Is that like a week process, 2 week process, or?
Yeah, if we do a full restoration, it's about 2 weeks. Depending on weather as well.
Yeah.
In most cases, it's maybe two to three weeks. Because we got to let things settle and dry, and after a certain.
So after you wash it, it has to dry out real good before you do anything else.
Yeah. We got the moisture level in the timber has to be a certain amount, and the weather level has to be a certain amount for certain stains. Yeah.
Does the humidity affect that?
It can do. Yeah. It's tricky at times.
But, you know, as hard as it is, I think, Jaya, our next project is we're going to have to find a log cabin. Now that we know it's going to be 3 weeks, we can just strip it down and have it painted Barbie pink. Mm-hmm. And we will have the only Barbie pink log cabin on Center Hill Lake.
With a black roof, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So what are some of the biggest cost factors in cabin restoration?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is the log rot. So if you see some logs that have been even covered by dirt around the bottoms of your cabins, they get rotted out fairly fast. And if you have to do a whole strip of log down the bottom, it can be pretty costly. You know, you got to really dig them out and see how far, you know, it's gone in. It's gone right through. It can have an integrity problem with the structure. Hmm. It could also start going up into it. It's, you know, wood, it soaks up wood, so it goes up into your next log and the next log. Hmm. And then you figure out you got your five logs in and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And that can cost a bit to fix. But if you can keep it clear around the bottom of your cabins from, all the dirt and stuff, and also check the roof. So when it's raining and the water comes off, it doesn't fall straight onto your logs. If there's like an eave or something, it can go into the gutter, or a lot of log cabins don't have gutters, so it drops off and hits the floor and then hits the bottom log. Mm. That's what, you know, can cause a bit of rot too.
Mm. Which is, you know, on a house that's not a log cabin, we see time after time when we have inspections for our buyers that if the water is not run away from the home, you just get all kinds of issues.
They always ding us if it doesn't have gutters. It never fails, even though the looks better without gutters on, you know, certain cabins and stuff, but it always gets dinged on home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I've got a cabin. It looks like it's ready to be stained. How do I get a hold of you?
Well, you can call my mobile number, 615-999.
What?
My mobile number.
Mobile.
It took me a minute. I wasn't getting that either.
You call it cell number, don't you?
Yeah, we call it a cell phone.
A cell phone. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's 615-999-0601. We do have another phone line on our website, which basically puts you straight into the server. So you can put all your details in there on our website, which is cabinkings.org. You can get onto the website with that, or email us at cabinkingstn@gmail.com, and we can help you out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now I wish I had a cabin. Just so I could fix it.
The cabin look, is that mainly just for aesthetics, or do you have any recommendations? Like, why would someone want to build a log cabin versus just, say, like regular siding?
Yeah, well, log cabins have their own look, and it's
kind of a different vibe.
It's a different vibe, yeah. But saying that, there's log siding as well. So if you've got a building that you just, you know, it's an old workshop. Mm-hmm. I would say shed in Australia, but you say workshops out here. You could actually put log siding on that and make it look like a little log cabin. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with siding these days. Even the big square logs that you can get, there's siding in that. You could make a whole house look like a log cabin.
Just a fascia board that goes over the existing structure.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a brick house and they did a log siding over it just to completely change the look of it. Yeah.
Okay, I've got another blonde question. You know, I'm always full of these weird ones. So if I go into a log cabin and it actually looks like logs on the inside, I'm assuming that's not fake. That's real log on the inside as well. Is there like certain maintenance and upkeep for that, even though it's more dry on the inside? I'm assuming there's some kind of upkeep for that as well.
Yeah. So with the inside of a cabin, you got all different inside parts. So you got tongue and groove. You got the log siding you can have in there, which they can do a chinking line to make it look like a normal log cabin. Or you do have normal log cabins, which is basically a full log, and on the inside it's got the chinking joint or a just straight butt joint. And with them ones, you can usually, they usually do like a clear coat inside because they want the natural look.
Sure.
Now, with the natural look, you still want to put a UV protectant because if sun comes in, you got a photo on the wall, a picture frame and everything, you take it off and you got this big, awful sort of square.
We just ran into that on a cabin that we sold in Coconut Ridge when they took all the photos off the wall.
Yep.
You could see where the photo was, mm-hmm. just a color difference.
Mm. There's products now that once you, so you would restore that, wash it, you know, clean it back, probably sand it back, mm-hmm. and then you can put a, there's a product on there, it was UV protectant, and it will stop that from happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you need the pest coating on the inside as well? Or
you don't need it on the inside, no. Okay. Usually on the inside you do more like a polyurethane finish, so it's a bit more durable, so you can wipe it, you can clean it.
Absolutely. If
you bang a chair into the timber, it won't damage it as much.
Got any more questions for us, Guy?
I do.
Yeah.
So name all the animals that will kill you in Australia.
Crikey, I don't know.
How is that crikey?
Oh, I mean, the good old crocodile is the one that gets most people.
Is that right?
Well, they go swimming in the sea and most people think there's no crocs in the sea, so they go for a swim up north and then they decide, oh, this will be nice and it looks beautiful and everything looks great, but then you have this big floating log come out and take you and you go under and you don't know.
Wow.
What's happened?
You know, I was most concerned with sharks in the water in Australia, but thank you, now I've unlocked a new fear of crocodiles. And the spiders can kill you, right? And snakes obviously can kill you. There's just all kinds of.
Yeah, we got a few birds that can give you a good poisoning as well.
Birds.
Yeah, there's a plover bird over there. It's got spikes in its legs, so if it hits you, it'll get you too.
Oh my winter.
Yeah, we have a bit of everything that can get you a hospital visit.
So y'all are just like breathing easy since you've moved here, right?
Well, there's a reason why we've only got about 28 million people in our country and not have 150.
It's like natural selection at its finest.
You want to cull down a few people, just bring over some native animals and you'll be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a dream trip of mine is to go to Australia. I've never been. I always wanted to go. So
I recommend if you do go, they go to like the Northern Territory. Don't go to the main cities because it's kind of like our cities here.
Yeah.
Go out bush and really look at the outback. You'll love it.
Absolutely. That's where I'd want to go for sure. That'd be fun.
So besides being able to, you know, leave your house without fear of being killed
by a bird,
right? What is your favorite thing about living here in Tennessee?
You know what? It was a bit of a culture shock when we first moved over because, funny enough, we all speak English, but we don't. There's a whole heap of words that I don't understand that you guys know and I don't know, and this like just going to the toilet. I mean, you call it restroom, we call it dunny, you know.
Dunny. I'm writing that down.
I mean, you say trash, we say rubbish. I mean, stuff like that. And then it was funny. I was looking for a chair. You know, one of them sort of, I don't even know what you call them still, a chair for your lawnmower. It has the air compression. So when you're going over bumps, it, you know, you don't break your back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we called up a lawnmower guy and he said, hey, do you have them air chairs? About three times he goes, I do not know what you're talking about. So, and we're laughing. My wife and I are laughing at each other thinking we don't even know any other words to explain what we're trying to ask for.
They're just air ride chairs. Yeah, he was close.
Yeah,
and in his mind, he's thinking a blow-up chair is what he's thinking.
Yeah. He's thinking something different, and it was really nice. So the Southern hospitality here has been really good. Most people understand, hey, if they're talking to somebody like us, they're just, you know, this guy's crazy. We'll just try and wing it, you know.
Well, we're kind of like any other country. I'm sure different regions have different dialects. When I go back to Texas to visit my family there, they can't understand me at all. And we're both, you know, that's still the South. I'm just driving directly over, but they can't understand
what
I'm
saying. Which direction are you driving?
West.
She's very directionally challenged.
Yes,
I'm surprised
she got that right. Directionally illiterate.
Yeah.
The funny thing is New Yorkans and LA people, they can understand us better than the Southern people. And I'm like, how does that work? But, you know, there's a whole different language down here.
I can almost kind of, like if I close my eyes here, maybe like a Boston kind of thing where you don't pronounce the R's really heavy. So maybe that's why they can understand.
We miss a few letters out of our words.
We just get rid of the letters altogether. There is no G on the end of any word in the South. It's fixing, going, telling. There's no G's. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. When we first came here, we said, how do you get to Lebanon? And this lady said to my wife, she goes, it's not, you don't live in the Middle East here. It's Lebanon.
Lebanon.
Yeah.
Lebanon. Yeah.
So well, a lot of people, when they first come in, say Lebanon, and we're like,
I said Lebanon, and they go, well, you're not in the Middle East here. I'm like, oh, okay, sorry.
There is a town, and I have no idea what direction it's in, but it's Lancaster. And so I thought it was Lancaster. No, it's Lancaster.
Oh, There you go.
You just randomly drop off letters out of the word, and there you go.
And you smush them all into one word.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And some syllables you really stretch out long.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife sounds like cornbread when she talks. I'm used to it. Yeah.
So in Australia, we try and shorten everything. If we don't know your name, we'll call you mate.
Yeah.
And even if we do know your name, we call you mate.
Still call you mate.
But at the same time, like if you're like Dave, David, we'll call you Dave or Davo. And we try and shorten your name and make you feel like you're a brother type thing, but yeah.
So what would Tony be? Can we shorten it?
Yeah.
How can you shorten a four-letter word?
Sometimes when they got a short word, we actually lengthen it. So, you know, you got Tony, you'd be like, you know, the big T or something like that. You know,
there you go.
I like that. Y'all got to start calling the big T.
No.
Yeah, that's it for now.
We'll give you a nickname if you,
that's
you know.
Yeah, well, my wife's got several for me, so we won't go there. Jeremy, I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
It was a blast getting to know you, and I hope we get a whole bunch of business sent to you, and we've got your cards. If anybody wants to get in touch with him, I've got cards at my office. Come by and see us.
And it's cabinkings.org.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd love to help out.
Awesome. Girls, y'all got anything else?
No.
What about Granny? You got anything?
No.
She's already tired of me calling her that. So.
That's rubbish.
That's rubbish.
Now I got to find a way to work Dunny into a conversation.
Well, you just did.
Oh, she'll be right.
All right, guys. Until next month, have a great next month.
You've been listening to The State of Real Estate, featuring Tony Luna, Daniel Reynolds, and Jaya Harwell of the Tony Luna Group of Lake Holmes Realty. For more information on Lake Holmes Realty, call 615-210-9522 or visit them online at onthelake.com. The State of Real Estate is a presentation of Slackerbilly Productions.